Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. And we're going to be learning from the Lord Jesus Christ on prayer. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves? For a friend of mine in his journey is come unto me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, would you read verse 9 together with me? And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated. A revival of prayer. Our theme for this year is revival. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? This morning, we're going to be talking about a revival of prayer. A revival of prayer. Jesus was praying here in this passage, in this record here. Jesus had been praying, and his disciples were there. And what would that have been like to hear Jesus pray? I mean, not just hear him teach, not just see him do miracles, but to hear him pray. Wow. I'll tell you, there's no better teacher than Jesus, especially when it comes to prayer. You know, of all the people in the world, of all people on planet Earth, Jesus was a real human being, although he was God as well. He is God. He came to this earth and became a man just like us. The thing is that of all people on planet Earth, if there was anybody that we could have thought maybe didn't need to pray, it might have been Jesus, right? I mean, he's God after all. He is powerful. He can work miracles. You'd think he wouldn't need to take time to pray. But yet, we find quite a different thing. In fact, when Jesus was choosing his disciples, before he did, he spent the whole night before, the whole night in prayer before that big day. Wow. Prayer. No greater teacher to teach us about prayer. We can see prayer taught by Jesus' example. We can see prayer taught by Jesus by his instruction, which we're going to look at here in Luke 11 in response to the question that the disciples asked about prayer. Teach us to pray. But we can also see and learn from Jesus by his command to pray. He commanded us to pray. Hold your place in Luke 11, but turn over to Luke 18 for just a moment. We'll be looking at this passage a little more, Lord willing, further in the message. But Luke 18, the Bible says, Jesus says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, or for this purpose. So here's Jesus telling a story to prove a spiritual point. And it says, he taught this, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a certain city a judge. And he goes and tells this story to encourage people to pray and to keep praying and to keep prayer an important thing. And so we can see Jesus teaching by his own example, by his instructions, by his command, and one more thing I'd like to note, by his promise. Let's go to Matthew 6. Matthew 6. Jesus again is talking about prayer. And there's something I'd just like to focus on in this verse. One little detail about the promise that Jesus talks about. And he's contrasting those who pray to be heard and seen of men, you know. They would pray in a very conspicuous spot so that people could see them, and they would try to use really flowery language so that it sounded really impressive. And Jesus said, don't be like them. Don't be like them. That's not what prayer is about. Prayer isn't about impressing others. Prayer is about a private personal conversation with God. And so notice verse 6. It says, But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And listen at this. This is the prayer promise Jesus teaching us. In secret, thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So Jesus gives us a prayer promise that the secret time with God will make a public impact. In other words, we'll see answers in the public light, of lives changed, of needs met. And we'll know, I sought God for that, and he did it. So the promise that God hears and answers prayer. So there's much more we could talk about in introduction, but that's just a few aspects of the teacher that we're going to learn from, the Lord Jesus Christ, and some of the things he said and the examples he gave and the promise that prayer holds. You know, the neat thing about prayer is that it's so simple that even a little child can learn to pray and pray effectively. Because prayer is so simple. But yet, get this, prayer is so important that the most mature Christian cannot live without it, cannot be successful without it. Prayer is important. And so that brings us to point number one, simply this: make much of prayer. Make much of prayer. Make it a priority. Make it important, because it is. Prayer should be an important part of our daily life. Talking with God. What a privilege. And so I want to encourage you in a prayer revival. That's a reviving of prayer, a reviving of our prayer life, that we would spend time in secret with God. We would talk to him. You see, it's so easy for us to struggle with things, to struggle and not to pray. You know, sometimes there are hard things we have to do, but first, we should pray. We must pray. You see, I can work and struggle, but if I have not prayed, I'm missing the help I need. I need to spend that time asking God to work. When man works, man works. But when man prays, God works. We need God's help, and we need to seek it daily, throughout the day, through prayer. See, distraction is one of the biggest things that is a hindrance to prayer. Distraction. We feel restless many times when we pray. Restless. Get up, let's do something. Let's go out and get started. And instead of taking the time we should to actually pray through the needs and to give those burdens to God, to ask Him for the help we need and to lift up someone else in need. You see, we need to put away distractions. That's the second point. First of all, make much of prayer. Notice back over here in Luke 11, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, this is Jesus, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, in other words, when his prayer was finished, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, what's that next word? When. When ye pray. All right? Now, prayer is something we need to do. It's something we need to practice. And so on this first point, make much of prayer. Pray, pray, pray. Take time to simply pray. If we push prayer aside, if we neglect to pray, if we fail to ask God about the needs and burdens and difficulties, and if we fail to pray, we're missing out on God's help. We're missing out on so much that God has available for us. Someone said that prayer is like a big bank account that we only write a few checks from. What could happen if we would make much of prayer? I'll tell you, when I think about prayer and teaching on prayer and talking about prayer, I feel very inadequate because I know that it's an area of needful growth in my life. What could we see God do if we would simply make much of prayer? Make much of prayer. Communion with our Heavenly Father. Well, it is so easy to minimize prayer. It is vital that we pray, and that we pray through things, not just little fluffy prayers that are marginalized. It's easy for us to watch a 5 or 10 minute little video clip, which we think is short, but to spend 5 or 10 minutes in prayer is hard, isn't it? We think, wow, I spent 10 minutes in prayer. That's a long time. But yet one of those short little videos goes by and we think it's short. You see how we have minimized prayer. Someone also said that prayer is like a gold mine from which we only haphazardly dig. Like a vast gold mine from which we only haphazardly dig. I want you to understand that God delights to hear our prayers, and He enjoys working in response to prayer. Please notice Matthew 7. Matthew 7. We're going to be back over in Luke 11 as well, but Matthew 7. Noticing verse 7. The Bible says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Listen, Jesus is teaching on prayer here in Matthew 7. And he says, which of you, if your son was to ask bread, are you going to give him a stone? No, of course not. We shouldn't. And Jesus is making a point here of how God, our Heavenly Father, delights to hear and to meet the needs of His children. And He says this, verse 10, or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father that is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? You see, our Heavenly Father delights to hear and to answer prayer. He loves to hear from us. He loves for us to ask and to talk with Him about our needs. And you notice some specifics, right? Jesus gives the example. If your son asks bread, or if he asks for a fish, right? He's asking for something specific. We need to make sure that we are asking for clear things, that we're asking for things that are practical, that are specific, all right? So make much of prayer. Now, Luke 11, and noticing verse 5. Luke 11 and verse 5, the Bible says, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and shall say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Jesus is teaching here about prayer, and he says, you know, you have someone stop in unexpected, and there's a need there, and your cupboards are bare. You don't have what you need to feed the man. And you go over to your neighbor, and you knock on your neighbor's door, and you say, hey, neighbor, I know it's late, but I got friends stop by, and, you know, we don't have really any food in the cupboard, and I was just wondering if I could borrow 3 loaves. And the friend says, oh, you know, we're already to bed. I mean, it's going to wake the kids up, and you know, come back tomorrow. He doesn't understand. I need it tonight. Hey, friend. Hey, I need those 3 loaves. Can I borrow those 3 loaves, please? And you know what? He keeps knocking. And Jesus says that this is how we should pray. This is how we should pray. He says, keep praying. Don't give up. Keep asking. And it goes on here in verse 9, and it says, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And these words has the idea of continuing action. Keep asking. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. Keep knocking. We need those 3 loaves. My friend's hungry. Keep knocking. That's what Jesus gives as an example of how to pray when he responds to the disciples' request to teach them to pray. Wow. So, make much of prayer. Secondly, block out distractions. In Matthew 6, the Bible talks to us here about, Jesus talks to us about finding a closet. That doesn't mean we can never pray in public. In fact, the house of God is to be called, of all nations, a house of prayer. God delights for families to pray together. It's good for couples to pray together. It's important for there to be prayer. I'm thankful that in our nation, that in our government, there are times where prayer is given. That's a good thing. It used to be we had more prayer in schools as well. Every day was opened in prayer. Every class period sometimes was opened in prayer. Prayer is important. And so public prayer, Jesus is not against public prayer. He's not against anyone praying in public and lifting up needs. But what he is saying is that the main reason for prayer is to meet with your Father secretly. That is where we can really see God work, is in our personal life. And so he tells us about finding a place to pray. Enter into thy closet, he says. And he goes further to say, and shut the door. Very specific. Enter into thy closet and shut the door. He's painting the picture of a secret meeting with God, where distractions are put out. The distractions of what others think. You know, sometimes when we're praying, listen at this. Sometimes when we're praying, we're thinking more about who's listening to us than who we're talking to. Right? And Jesus is teaching us here that, you know, our focus needs to be on the Heavenly Father, not on who's seeing us and what they're thinking about us, good or bad. So put away distractions, the distractions of what others think of you. And the distractions of everything else going on. I looked up the word closet, the Greek word here that's translated as closet. And in the Greek, it also had these offerings for a definition or possible English translation. And it's this. What is a closet? It is a storage room. A storage room. Generally, storage rooms are, you know, quiet little places. It's an inner chamber. A secret chamber. It's translated in Matthew 24, verse 26 as a secret chamber. We can look at that, Matthew 24, verse 26. Same word, same Greek word as the closet Jesus talked about, Matthew 24, verse 26. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. And so, that's the same word there. And so, we can definitely see the idea of Jesus saying, put away distractions, get in a private, personal spot where you can talk with your Heavenly Father. So that is our focus. Our focus needs to be on God, on the Heavenly Father, not on what others think, not on what messages are coming through on our phone, but on the Lord and our time with Him. And so the closet, a revival of prayer. What was our first point? Make much of prayer. Make much of prayer. We need to do that, simply. And then, the second point, block out what? Distractions. Block out distractions. We need to focus on our Heavenly Father. Number three, be specific and practical. Be specific and practical. Effectual. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Our prayer needs to be to the point. the examples that Jesus gives when the son asks for food, he's pretty specific. He says bread, right? And if that seemed a little vague, Jesus went on in his example and he said, if the son asks for a fish. And so God is teaching us that we should and ought to be specific in prayer. It's not wrong to say, you know, Lord, bless the missionaries. And that's not wrong. And I do pray that God does bless the missionaries. But we should be specific. And that's why it's good to not only pray specifically about the needs that a particular missionary has, but to ask God to do certain things that we believe would be good and right. Okay? Now, when we are specific and practical in prayer, we can more easily see when God answers. We can see that He has worked because we asked for something specific and direct. And so even in our own lives, we need to be specific. When we pray for God's help in our own life, well, asking God to help you is good and should be done. But how do we want God to help us? Lord, help me to listen during this message. Right? We could pray prayers like that. Lord, help me. We can be specific, right? We can say, Lord, help me with my attitude today. I have been struggling with unthankfulness. And Lord, I need your help to be thankful. Lord, you've been so good to us. Lord, thank you. You're so good. We need to be specific in our requests. All right? And so, notice in the example Jesus gives in Luke 11, when ye pray, Jesus says, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And so we can see as Jesus gives an example prayer, he's pointing out that we should talk to the Father. And where is he? He's in heaven. And we should hold his name in high regard. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. And then, going on with the prayer of Jesus' example here, he encourages us to pray for specific daily needs. Give us this day our daily bread. He goes on to talk about our sins. And I believe Jesus wants us to be specific about our sins. And he goes on to talk about difficult relationships. He says in verse 4 that we would forgive others who are indebted to us. So there's specifics about those who have wronged us and praying for them and praying God's forgiveness for them and committing that to God. So we can see as Jesus teaches on prayer, he wants us to be specific, direct, to not be just very, very vague, but to be pointed in our request. Praising him and thanking him for specific things that we identify. Not just, although it's not wrong to say, thank you, Lord, you've been good, but it'd be great to list what some things that we are identifying that he has been good in our life even today. And so being specific and asking then for specific needs, and that God would work in particular ways. As we pray specifically, God will answer. Sometimes he will help us to see that our request is not the way it should be, that maybe our desire is a little different from his desire. And he will show us that as we yield to him and pray specifically. And so a revival of prayer, a lot more to talk about here, but the point I want to leave you with is the first point that we started out with. Make much of prayer. Pray, pray, pray. The start of prayer is to simply make prayer itself a priority of talking with God, of addressing God. Pray. Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we have this opportunity to interact with you. Lord, we do recognize that you are the mighty God, and that holy is your name. Lord, we pray that you would do a work as we go through this week, that you would help us to make much of prayer, to pray more, to take more time for prayer, to be specific and to put away distractions, Lord, that you might revive our prayer life, that we might see you working to make us more like Christ, and that we would see more answers and more of your power working in us to see souls saved, to see people attending church, to see your power in our life, that we would obey in daily life and have a right attitude and all of these things. We thank you for your goodness today. Thank you for the sunshine. Thank you for the fellowship we can have together. I pray that our fellowship around the table would be honoring to you, and we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.